Why do cats knock stuff off tables? I think I figured out the answer, and I share it with my story and song about the Mingley cat song. It's on Pub Songs and Stories, episode number 260. Welcome to Pub Songs and Stories. This is the virtual public house for musicians to share the stories and inspiration behind their music with your host, Mark Gunn. Subscribe to the podcast at pubsong.com. Welcome to Pub Songs and Stories. I am Mark Gunn, and this is the audio liner notes for the songs I record and play, and it is brought to you by my Gunrunners on Patreon. If you enjoy this podcast and my music, please join the Gunrunners Club. You'll get something new every week, sheet music, access to Coffee with the Kelp Father Cup video concerts, bootleg concerts, behind-the-scenes photos and videos, and even download songs featured in this show. You get a lot for just a little of $5 per month, and you can save 15% with an annual membership. Thanks to my newest Gunrunners on Patreon, Zach Holmes and Kane Thrace. Upcoming shows. November 19th, I have two shows. First is at Three Taverns Brewery in Decatur. That's from 12 to 1:30. And in the evening, I'll be at Iron Shield Brewing in Lawrenceville from 7 to 10 p.m. It's a busy day, so I hope you'll come join me for those two events. I want to get a lot of people out to these shows, so come join to one if you can. Both be even better. December 2nd, I'll be at the Lost Druid in Avondale Estates, Georgia. That's from 6:30 to 9:30. And then in 2023, June 3rd through 10th, is the Celtic Invasion of County Mayo in Ireland. Find a link to that in the show notes. I am closing up my shop. Something different that's going to happen this year. I'm not doing any Black Friday discounts or sales like all of the marketers encourage musicians to do. And I know I've done them in the past, but I've never really felt comfortable about doing them, as you might have heard on a past podcast I did about the ethics of Black Friday. And what it boils down to is that I prefer celebrating the day after Thanksgiving as Buy Nothing Day, a day to fight back against consumerism. So for that reason, I'm closing down all physical sales in my Bandcamp store on Friday, November 18th. You can go to my store on Bandcamp. You can buy anything up until then, but you will not be able to buy any CDs, shirts, album pins, songbooks, or whatever. You will be able to still get the digital downloads because it's not easy to take those down. But everything else will be gone. And I will reopen the store on December 1st, but only for a few days, which is another thing I've been considering. I've been thinking about the environmental impact of shipping. And someone suggested that if you only ship products in a shorter period of time span, it's better for the environment. And that makes a lot of sense to me. So I'm planning on doing just that. All right. I'm doing a lot more music in this episode. And so I'm going to share a track from my St. Patrick's Day CD. This is Nancy Whiskey.
I'm a weaver, a Celt and weaver. I'm a rash and a roving blade. I've got silver in my pocket, and I follow the roving trade. As I come in by Glasgow City, Nancy Whiskey I chanced to smell. So I went and sat down beside her. 7 long years I loved her well. Whiskey, whiskey, Nancy, whiskey. Whiskey, whiskey, Nancy, oh. The more I kissed her, the more I loved her. The more I kissed her, the more she smiled. Soon I forgot my mother's teachings. Nancy soon had me beguiled. Whiskey, whiskey, Nancy, whiskey. Whiskey, whiskey, Nancy, oh. I'll go back to the Calton weaving. I'll surely make the shuttles fly. I'll make more at the Calton weaving than ever I did in the roving way. Whiskey, whiskey, Nancy, whiskey. Whiskey, whiskey, Nancy, oh.
December 2nd, I will be back at the Lost Druid in Avondale States. And I did a big interview at the beginning of this year, I think it was, with the Lost Druid. And I didn't post all of those clips that I had put together with various questions that I asked them. And so I'm going to share another one. This is their favorite beers from the Lost Druid. I'll let Rob and Stacia take it away.
You know, my favorite, I don't know, I have really enjoyed, it's no longer on, we actually just ran out of it on the second run, and we are about to rebrew it again, but it's Retribution, it's a black IPA. You know, not a lot of people have done the black IPA. I think locally, I recall Cherry Street having done a black IPA, but it's a style that, you know, had originated out on the West Coast, and it was called a Cascadian Dark Ale at the time. It just got renamed to black IPA by the Brewers Association. But when it's done well, it can be a very, very tasty beverage. You just have to balance the bitterness of the hops with the roastiness of the grain. And, you know, you can get grain, dark grains that are, you know, kind of debittered in the way that they're produced. So you can help that balance happen. But you have to be really diligent about it. That beer I loved. I mean, you know, right from the get-go, the recipe turned out perfect. And we've already brewed it twice, and we're brewing it again right now because it is a fan favorite. You know, Stacia mentioned our English IPA. That was one we brewed four times. You know, and that was one that I talked about where, you know, you started seeing it was kind of waning a little bit. You know, I don't look at necessarily that the beer itself was waning. It was just because of all the variety of things that we have. Yeah. There were just some other things in the menu people just, you know, wanted to try more. You know, at that point, you know, they had been drinking Infinite Voyage for a while. They're like, oh, you know, this sounds interesting too. Let's go check this out. Which is why I say, you know, eventually Infinite Voyage will make its return, but, you know, kind of build it up a little bit. Don't, you know, it's not available for a while. And then when it does come back, everybody wants to jump back on it. But, what else? Hercinio was a Hefeweizen that people absolutely love that we are going to redo this year.
I think a couple of our sours, which we tend to do beers that are more tart than sour. And we had a blueberry cobbler last year that was very popular, and our Frozen Orchard, which is the apple pie a la mode that we talked about a little bit earlier. Those two, kind of as a winter beer, kind of as a dessert beer, have been very popular and have come back. The blueberry cobbler actually came back as a little bit higher octane version this year. And
it was slightly modified. It was a slightly modified one that we had at the Strong Beer Fest this year that took place at Wrecking Bar. And that one did actually in the People's Choice Awards this year. There were 83 beers there, I believe, and that beer was voted second best at the event. And that was we called that one a blueberry crumble. Because we'd done the blueberry cobbler in the past, but this time we wanted to add a little bit more of an oatmeal note to it. So we kind of got an oatmeal raisin cookie kind of note going on in it too. And that's where we kind of said, you know, this is more blueberry crumble versus a blueberry cobbler. We do that. But yeah, as Stacia's mentioned, the sours, I mean, if I really look at it across the board of things that we probably have most requested by customers, it is our sours. Our base sour is made in a very unique way. I don't think anybody else in the Atlanta area actually produces it the way we produce it. But it allows us the flexibility both to kind of shift in directions for alcohol percentage. So we've gone as high as almost 9% on it, and then, you know, down to around 4.5% on the low side. But we use, every beer we do, we only use natural fruit, herb, and spice flavorings in them. And there's zero artificial color added. And so that's something that always surprises people when they do see the colors of some of our beers and that, you know, when we go through and we're like, oh, yeah, I know. And even on the seltzer side, when, you know, some of our seltzers actually have color. And they're used to pouring something out of a can that's mass-produced and it's always clear. And it's like, well, that's because, you know, there's natural fruit, you know, being added into that.
The alligator always threw me off because it just looks like water and it tastes nothing like water. Wonderfully nothing.
Yeah, but some of them are, and they, you know, and that's actually just a byproduct of the fact that was actually alligator whipping was a lychee lemon meringue that we had. So we tried to replicate a little bit of a meringue note in it, but the lemon and the lychee, for all intents and purposes, they're somewhat colorless. You know, if you looked at that in the light the right way, you'd see that there was a little tinge of a yellowness to it. But yeah, that one can come out fairly clear. But when you get to some of the mass-produced seltzers that are out there that are all just extract-based, I mean, they're perfectly clear. Yeah. You know, there's nothing there. But yeah, the sours, yeah, I can't keep them on long enough. I mean, that's been our biggest problem is on our sours. You know, the sours do take me a little longer to make. And on top of it, then we keep running out. And because of the variety on our sours that we have, whether they're something tropical or something, you know, dessert oriented like a pie, or even something that, you know, is apricot based, they fly off. You know, the taps are just always emptying, and it's always, you know, what's the next one? What's the next one? What's the next one? And we've got a few that we brought back multiple times because they are really big hits. But some of them are also seasonal. You know, some of them, the fruit, you know, I can't get. You know, if I'm doing a watermelon one, you know, we've had a watermelon one on there before that people love, but this isn't exactly the time right now for me to be doing watermelon. So some of our bigger ones are just, you know, seasonal in nature because the fruit's seasonal in nature.
Yeah.
When first I boarded a ship to journey to the rim, captain said one thing when first I met with him. There's a place you cannot go to if you wander through the ship. You always must remember there's a bug in cabin six. I'm not sure how it got there. I just know that it is. It ate poor Private Carson. That cabin once was his. Then he shook his fist in warning, but I snuck down for kicks and peeked into the door hatch of forbidden our cabin six. The window was quite filthy, but I got quite a shock when I saw what they were hiding behind that flimsy lock. At my shoulder on legs like pogo sticks with three full sets of chompers. That bug, cabin six. I think I wound up screaming. I really think I did. Cause it looked right through me in the hallway where I hid. I ran back to my berth, the double locks I clicked so I would not get eaten by the bug. Cabin six. You may think it's just a story, a tall tale wrapped in song, but I will tell you truly that logic all is wrong. Somewhere in that wasteland, in the black starry mix, that ship is still sailing with a bug. Cabin six. Just a story, a tall tale wrapped in song, but somewhere in the black of that bug is sailing on.
That, of course, was There's a Bug in Cabin 6. It's from my album As Long as I'm Flying. What else is new? Well, it's been 11 years since I last posted an episode of the Cat Lovers podcast, and it seems like only yesterday. Okay, it's not really true. It feels like 11 years. I thought about rebooting it, but I decided instead to do this special feature on cats and Celtic music for this episode right now. So, and that's because I released a new album this year. It's called Selkuth, which means when everything is strange and different, yet you find it marvelous anyway. It's also the reason I released a new song, a new cat song on the album, which I'll talk about in a bit. But first, I want to thank a few of my Celtic cat fans on Patreon. I have a lot of those, and I sent out a call and several folks responded. Don Rice is from Moorhead, Minnesota. He writes, definitely a cat lover, as we have owned many, two currently, Chessie and Napoleon, both gray striped tabbies. I'm a member of Poaching Band and a sci-fi lover as well. And yes, they are a fairly new addition to the Irish and Celtic Music podcast. I highly recommend that you check them out. Kelly Melville said, my 11-year-old daughter, Lorraine Melville from Hampton, Georgia, is the biggest cat and cat song fan in our family. We all are, but she's the one who has a bunch of your cat songs memorized and sings them to our cat. It would be a super fun surprise to hear her name on the podcast. Hi, Lorraine. She recently lost her first cat that she named White Tickled Ninja when she was 4 because as a kitten, he would hide around corners and jump out and attack our toes with his tickly little paws. He loved people and would run meowing up to everyone he saw, even complete strangers in the hopes of food or pets. I think he thought he was a dog. He would wag his little stub of a tail when we played with him, pant, and even play fetch with bald socks. Ninja was the boss of our house, but our other cat, Sherlock, is the sneaky one who figured out how to open doors and one day set off a burglar alarm and brought the cops out to our house. Fantastic. Thank you so much, Kelly. And thank you, Lorraine. A lot of your descriptions made me think of my own cats, which I'll tell you about in a little bit. Very cool. Marie from Centennial, Colorado said, my kitty is Annie. She'll be 18 in July. I rescued her in August 2020 at age 16 and just under 7 pounds. She is the sweetest little thing and has a voracious appetite. They told me that they didn't think she was hungry, but rather just liked to eat. Really? Well, I took her to a vet for a wellness check, naturally, and she had hypothyroidism pretty badly. We put her on medicine, and she has been getting better. She runs to greet me when I get home from work and sleeps beside me every night. When I'm home doing paperwork or watching TV, she sits in my chair beside me and sprawls out with her front legs over my one leg. See you at Dragon Con, then Kentucky. And thank you so much, Marie. And I got to see her both at Dragon Con and in Kentucky for ALEP, a long-expected gathering. Finally, Carol Peril keeps the Irish Drinking Songs for Cat Lovers group on Facebook going strong by sharing cat memes. She's out of Acworth, Georgia in the Atlanta area. She has a favorite cat video on YouTube she watches, and she says, he is my go-to guy for all cat things. And you'll find a link to that video in the show notes at pubsong.com for the Mingley Cat Song. If you want to join these amazing gunrunners, join the club. Meantime, this is Lord of the Pounce. It's from my album, Irish Drinking Songs for Cat Lovers.
I pounced in the morning when the world was begun. I pounced on the moon and the stars all for fun. I leaped down from heaven and I pounced on the earth. When I pounced my first mouse, I had my birth. Pounce, pounce, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the Pounce, said he. I'll run under feet wherever you may be, and I'll leap on you. They wouldn't play, so I stole their feather pens. I pounced on the fish caught by James and by John. They fed me fish, then the pounce went on. Pounce, pounce, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the Pounce, said he. I'll run under feet wherever you may be, and I'll leap on you in the pounce, said he. Against the land.
What's new with my cats? Well, since I last podcasted, my oldest daughter is 12 and my youngest is now 7. Sadly, all 4 of our cats we had when my wife and I first met have passed away. Rainy was the latest one just last year. 2 years ago, we adopted 2 kittens that a friend found in their apartment parking lot in Birmingham. Pompey is an ash-colored tabby boy who's grown quite enormous. He's huge and he likes to meow at us at about 4 a.m. every morning when we don't lock him up. Though he's an indoor cat, he loves to run out the back door when he can to take in the sights and smells. I mean, just zoom, he's gone. And it can be stressful, especially when my mother-in-law comes up the stairs and opens the door. And this is even in the house, and he dashes down there. And only once, you know, problems. But stressful sometimes. Sometimes it's stressful. But he is a real sweet boy, even though he, you know, drives us crazy with the 4 a.m. wake-ups. It's just, gotta stop. Emmy is his sister. She looks a lot like him, except she's smaller by a third and has brown fur. Actually, she reminds me a little bit more of Tiziana, but their markings are very similar. Emmy loves playing fetch, just like White Tickle Ninja, which is super cute, just like Tiziana, too. And if you ever heard me podcasting and a cat starts begging for attention, it's usually Emmy. She loves to play, but she does not love it when I pick her up. Well, she's not bad. She's fine. But when Kenzie picks her up, she's happy. But not me, not so much. I got a couple cats who are just like, oh, boys, ew. Right now, we have 2 new kittens in our house. A different friend from Birmingham had a cat that just gave birth, and Gwen volunteered to help get them adopted. So he brought them over at the end of April, and all but one were spoken for, so we decided to keep 2 of them instead of just the one we were originally going to have. So the first is a Thorn Murder Cat Gun. Murder Cat or Thorn, I prefer Thorn as the name, but Kenzie and Gwen really like the name Murder Cat. Thorn is a black kitten with a white dot on her chest. She started out a bit more shy than some of our other cats, and she seems a little bit more like an introvert, but she's definitely turn into the sweet kitty, much like Emmy. She's just very sweet and cuddly, likes to be petted, and is, you know, she's awesome. Emo is an all black boy, and he was loving early on. Now he's a boy cat. He's a little bit mischievous, much like his big brother, Pompey. And, yeah. And while Kenzie is great with him as well, who's our cat, Kenzie's our little cat whisperer, Emo is not nearly as friendly. In fact, I thought he was going to be, you know, all loving on me early on, and then something happened, and, you know, he's like, get away from me! Ah! All right, I'm going to play another song that I wrote about cats. It's called A Little Bit of Love. It's from my CD, The Bridge.
Standing by your car, and I don't know why you're leaving. Don't wanna go, that's so plain to see. When our lips meet, I can see in your eyes we're conceiving. But it'll take a little time before you come home to me. With a little drop of bourbon down in Louisiana, little drop of you lying a little too close to me. Little bits meowing to be let out of the bedroom. With a little bit of luck, you'll be a little bit in love with me. Remember last night when Colin walked into that restaurant? You pulled me close as he proposed in broken Portuguese. I know you think a movie it ain't worth believing. But believe me when I tell you, you've enchanted me. With a little drop of bourbon down in Louisiana, a little drop of you lying a little too close to me.
seem kind of silly, but I carry my cell phone. Never will I go, oh, I wait for that thing to ring. And when I see your name on my heart, it skips a beat, oh, tenfold. Cause I'm hoping you're calling to say you're the only one for me. With a little drop of bourbon down in Louisiana, a little drop of you lying a little too close to me, a little bit's meowing to be let out of the bedroom. With a little bit of luck, you'll be a little bit in love. And a little drop of bourbon down in Louisiana, a little drop of you lying a little too close to me, a little bit meowing to be let out of the bedroom. With a little bit of luck, you'll be a whole lot in love with me. With a little bit of luck, you'll be a whole lot in love with me.
The story of the Mingalay Cat Song. So the Mingalay Cat Song is by far my favorite cat song to sing right now. Certainly, I love the original song Mingalay Boat Song by Sir Hugh S. Robertson. You can actually hear the story about that song in episode number 243. Just follow the link in the show notes. And unlike many of my cat song parodies, this one stands out in that I love to sing both versions, and they both have their own fairly unique sound. I wrote Mingalay Cat Song when my oldest daughter, Kenzie, was about 3 or 4 years old. I think she was in daycare. And every weekday morning, I would feed Kenzie before I took her to school. Then I'd race back home and do as much work as I could before I had to pick her up again, you know, 3 or 4 hours later. It was not a lot of work time. And it was kind of frustrating. So it's like, do stuff, very frantic, and da, 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 da. And so I, one morning, I remember her sitting in her high chair eating Cheerios or some other hand food off the table, and she had a sippy cup that she usually drank first thing in the morning. But that morning in question, she only had a little bit of her cup of juice before I realized I was running late and I was going to miss the drop-off time. So I gathered up quickly, threw in my arms, grabbed some shoes, we raced out the door, and I got back 30 minutes. I took off my shoes at the door, ran up the steps into the living room. I walked in the kitchen to clean up the food she had finished. Squish, my sock was soaked. And not just soaked, it was sticky soaked, which is just worse. The juice was all over the floor next to the cup. A moment later, Jenga rubbed against my leg, and I knew. If you ever had a cat, you've probably experienced something similar. Cats like to knock things over, plain and simple. And Jenga was our knocky-over cat. She was an overweight tuxedo cat, and if ever we had an open drink sitting out for more than like 3 minutes, she was not far away. She just magically appeared. She passed away several years ago when we moved to Atlanta, and we don't have other cats that actively try to knock off over drinks, and yet we still prefer to use water bottles in our house, and that was one of the bizarre consequences of her actions. No open liquid containers left unattended. I actually get a little neurotic when people take the cap off water bottles and they leave it off. It drives me crazy. And the first two verses of Mingalay Cat Song were fairly easy to write. Just use actual experiences like Kenzie's juice bottle moment. And how many times did we have to run to the bathroom when we were watching a show and we come back to find whatever drink we were drinking is now all over the coffee table or the floor. It's just really easy verses to write. The third verse, however, took a little bit more imagination. And my wife likes cold, icy water at bedtime, but fortunately, Jenga never knocked over icy water by the bed or in the bed or anything. But every time I saw that icy water sitting there in a cup and Jenga jumped up on the bed, I just, in my mind was like, it's gonna. But I have seen her try to stick her head in the water so much so that I really loved adding the tongue cantering to it. When during the live shows to add a bit more comedy to the serious song, I go, tongue, and my tongue sticking out. It's wonderful. I love it. And the final verse attempts to answer why cats knock over water. And I think most or any cups I think most Cats fans like to say that their cats are just jerks, which, you know, has its merits, but I feel that it, adding a scientific approach that they were conducting a physics experiment is so much cooler. And of course, the last line, tap the glass, cats, watch it jiggle. If it doesn't tip over, then knock it again. And in my mind, that's just beautiful comedy. Now, the one other thing that I thought was really fun on this recording was that years ago, when I first started doing my Irish Drinking Songs for Cat Lovers series, I played this show where I was supposed to be singing Wild Rover with Andrew, and I started meowing in the middle of it because I couldn't remember the original lyrics. And I'm never playing the same. It's one or the other. It's always one or the other. I've since learned that there are some songs that I can do that way. And Mingley Cat Song, when I normally sing a song either in C or D, Mingley Boat Song in the key of C or D. And because of that, I changed the key to F for the cat version so that hopefully I will never forget that. And so far, it's been pretty good. So the song, of course, features yours truly on alto harp and vocals. Nathan Deese plays bass and whistles. And I had a group of people on Facebook who I asked, who wants to sing background vocals on the Mingley Cat Song? So I have C. David Dent, Chris Carr, Heather Aykroyd, Jennifer Michelle Haskell, Morgan Hubert, Gwyneth Hubert, Nick Watson from Rathkeltair, and Whiskey Bay Rovers all sang back up on the song, and it was mixed by Rich Brotherton, who did my second Cat CD, Whiskers in the Jar, as well as The Bridge, and just he's a brilliant musician and producer and such, so I was really excited to have him mix that as well. And without further ado, here is Mingley Cat Song.
See the glass cats, watch it splash cats, see the splash, your paws get sticky on the floor. See the glass cats, watch it splash cats, see the liquid roll off of the table, see your human in their socks cats as they step. TV distracted, or they leave to use the bathroom, jump upon the coffee table, and knock the milk down and lick it up. See the glass.
done drinking. What we care about is physics in motion. Tap the glass, cats. Watch it jiggle. If it doesn't tip over, then knock it again. See the glass, cats. Watch it splash.
You can download this song as an MP3 when you join my Gunrunners on Patreon. And I would like to know, what are you doing while listening to Pup Songs and Stories? I'd love your thoughts and feedback. So I keep changing these formats and trying to find something that I feel like suits me and hopefully you as well. It makes it something you want to listen to every time. So please send your thoughts and feedback. You can also take a picture of yourself and tell me what you were doing while listening. Post on social media. Use the hashtag PubStories so I can find and share your story. Thanks for listening to Pup Songs and Stories. The show is produced by Mark Gunn, edited by Mitchell Peterson, with graphics by Miranda Nelson Designs. You can subscribe and listen to my regular show wherever you find podcasts. You can also subscribe to my mailing list. You'll get regular updates of new music, podcasts, special offers, and you'll get more stories behind several of my most popular songs. And of course, please tell one friend about this podcast. Word of mouth is the absolute best way to support any creative endeavor. Have fun and sing along at pubsong.com.